The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This, Easter Week edition 2024 of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM 93.1 with yours truly, Neville James. It is a gorgeous Monday in paradise. It really is. The sea looks like glass. It's like, today looks like a good day. To head out to the beach, we're going to call the weather service down in San Juan so they can let us know what to expect. In a little bit, we got Table Talk, Ronnie Russell going to join us, and hopefully Rocky Leibold. Doug School is still on assignment, so he is being deemed excuse. Madam Clerk, if you will, excuse Donald Doug School from today's show. Table Talk gonna be good, man. A lot of things going on. Unfortunately, there was a terrorist attack in Moscow. Anytime innocent people are killed, regardless of what kind of government's in place in a country, it's not good. And you know, this happened in Russia, but the reality is, once lives are lost, it's not a good thing. Also, on today's the deadline for payment for Trump's bond for his appeal. So we're going to see what's going to transpire a little later on with that. And then we're going to talk Easter here in the territory. Also looking at Carnival, because, you know, Easter and Carnival go hand in hand. And then we're going to look at the election for 2024 here in the Virgin Islands. Of course, you know, it's a non-gubernatorial cycle. So we're going to look at the prospects for the senators, because, you know, historically, the voters like to blame everything that's wrong in the Virgin Islands on the senators. You know, I can take offense to that, having been a member of that branch of government for over a decade. So got a good show, a good discussion coming up in a little bit. So we're going to reach out to the weather service. Let's see what's going on. Look, that South Carolina Lady Gamecocks. that's a machine, my son. They nearly killed University of North Carolina yesterday. Oh, God. Referee go take these people cheering off of them, man. Oh, gosh, man. But it really speaks to Don Staley, that coach, to lose a player the caliber of Aliyah Boston and go undefeated in the immediate year after. Right? And then also on men's side, Joanne Roberts, Houston, Cougars, they survive an overtime game against Texas A&M. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I believe we do have the weather service on the line. Good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, good morning. This is Lee Ingalls.
Hey, Lee. How you doing?
Great. What about you?
I'm doing well. The weather is beautiful up here. Is it the same in San Juan?
Yes, it's pretty calm before the storm. But it's kind of warm. Mm-hmm. Is it the same for you guys over there?
Yeah. We're starting to feel that humidity a little bit.
Yeah. We have a lot of moisture across the area. Mm-hmm. And also we have a south-southeasterly wind component. So that's also, you know, turning the temperatures a little bit, warmer for the day.
So you said calm before the storm. Something's happening?
Yeah, we're expecting the approach of the frontal boundary, a cold front moving into the area.
Okay.
So far, we had a few patches of shower activity across eastern sections of Puerto Rico and some of the local waters, not streaming over the islands yet, but as the day progresses, with the south-southeasterly wind component, we're expecting an increase in shower activity. So that's first for Puerto Rico, the big island, we're expecting the increase in shower. And for you guys tomorrow, as the moisture from the cold front and the instability move more to the south, moving into the St. Thomas and St. Croix area.
Okay, so that happens when? Beginning tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes. It's between late tonight into tomorrow. And after that, we're expecting drier moving into the area and northeast winds again. So that could, turn again stable weather conditions. But for now, Monday, today and Tuesday looks like variable weather conditions will persist.
Okay, so how long are we going to be impacted with the cold front? Couple of days?
No, just 2 days. It's all today and tomorrow.
Just today and tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. By Wednesday, well, late Tuesday into Wednesday, we're expecting improvement in the weather conditions because all the moisture will move out of the region, including you guys, will move more into the Caribbean and more dry air will move into the area. And the dry air will stay with us at least until Friday. So that means we are expecting stable and colder temperatures by Wednesday into Thursday and also Friday.
Okay, good. So the seas look good. Is it today's a good day? We got good marine conditions today?
Yeah, today we have basically seas up to 5 feet, but marine conditions will deteriorate by tomorrow in the afternoon. We're expecting a northerly swell affecting the areas, and we can see building seas between 6 to 8 feet by Wednesday, and that also increased the rip current across the northern areas of the islands. Specifically for you guys, it will affect by Wednesday. St. Thomas and St. John will have high rates of rip currents, and you guys over there in St. Croix will have moderate. And then on Friday, you probably will see a high rates of rip currents because of the building season, the northerly swell.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. So cold front beginning this afternoon or tonight?
Yes. This afternoon, you guys probably could see more frequent showers in the coastal areas, but it's not going to be very significant as comparing to what you guys can expect it on Tuesday, because all the moisture is going to affect first the Puerto Rico, and then as progress to the south, move southward into the region, will affect you guys more by Tuesday. So today is going to be very variable for you guys, but tomorrow probably is going to be more cloudy with more frequent showers. And also, we don't have a very strong wind component. Well, velocity in the winds are very weak, so that will affect also the showers move out of the region. So if the shower develops, it's going to be in place for more time, so that could lead more rainfall accumulations by tomorrow. We're not expecting, widespread shower activity with widespread flooding across the area, but, taking consideration those areas that normally get flooded with, amounts of rain and less than 1 inch probably could be affected tomorrow.
Okay. So good weather today. It's going to get a little nippy beginning this afternoon into this evening.
Tomorrow, bearable and wet, and by Wednesday, everything improves.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, Lee. I appreciate that.
Okay. Have a great day.
You too. Have a great day. Thank you very much. That's Lee Ingalls down there from the Weather Service in San Juan. Looks like we're going to get a little respite. Okay, she is right. It has been getting a little... No, I mean, a little warmish. The mornings aren't as nippy as they were during the November, December, January, February months. But it's okay. Like the dude said to the drive-thru one time, I was driving through Wendy's, and he said, He said, you want any a frosty with that order and all that stuff? I said, no, I good. He said, oh, you want to be nice and slim for the summer for the girls, right? And, yo, I remember that was during the pandemic too, man. I was like, hey, yo, how you know? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you take the bitter, you know, with the sweet, you know what I'm saying? So, it's all good. As well. So, you know, it really is beautiful outside today. Today's really a good American Paradise Day, right? So we gonna take advantage of it. But like I was saying, you know, we got a soft spot for the University of South Carolina for obvious reasons, right? Even though Aaliyah Boston is no longer a Lady Gamecock. And we going to have fun with that in a table talk. Because America banned cockfighting, right? You know, cockfighting big in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico, right? Yet the University of South Carolina, right? They are the Gamecocks, right? So, you know, basically you got universities, right, acknowledging the fact that, you know, certain animals are bred, you know, for, you know, physical confrontation. It's unfortunate, you know what I'm saying? And they haven't gotten rid of the name. You know, so the Lady Gamecocks, they have been tremendous this year. And it's remarkable how season in and season out, right? Don Staley, the coach of the University of South Carolina women's basketball team, you know, continue to be such a dominant force, right? They beat North Carolina, an 8 seed, right? 88-41, right? You know, the way the tournament is set up, you got 16 teams in every bracket, right? It's a 64-team tournament, right? And in the first round, one plays 16, two plays 15. So everybody who plays in the first round, if you add up their seeds, it equals to 17. So after the first round, South Carolina played the 8 seed. That means the 8 seed beat the 9th seed. So the highest ranked team that they could have played in a second round was North Carolina. And they beat them by 47 points. Right? First quarter, they were leading 28-8. By halftime, the score was 56-19. Oh, gosh, man. Then the third quarter, you know, Carolina outscored them 15-14. And then South Carolina finished them off in the fourth quarter, 18-7. So we're looking at a 47-point victory. For me as a coach, right, at this level, right, after you know a game is won, there's no need to pile it on. Unless maybe the coach may have said something derogatory about the players or the rivalry is a deep-rooted rivalry. But in this case, you know, once you up 30, 40, 25, 30 points, you're telling the players, look, just run some sets. And don't get yourself hurt because we got 4 more games to go if we gonna win the championship, or at least get to the finals. You know what I'm saying? But this beat Dunyawa reeling, and of course, you know, South Carolina, they feel like the little stepsister to North Carolina. So, you know, that one ain't no joke. Now, there was also a great game with Stanford, right? Stanford and I believe it was Iowa State. Anyhow, Stanford got this one player. She's from Los Angeles, but she goes to Stanford. Stanford has a great ladies basketball program as well. She dropped 41-16 on them last night. They went to overtime. That was a tremendous game. Kiki Arafen. Yeah. Kiki Arafen, right? She put 40, and they needed all of her points last night, right, in order for them to move on to the next to the next rung, which they call the Sweet 16. You know what I'm saying? So South Carolina is a one seed. They've gone on, right? Texas is a one seed as well. They beat Alabama, right? Stanford and Ohio State are two seeds, right? Ohio State got knocked out. Duke knocked them out. This is on the ladies' side we're talking. LSU, the defending champs, they beat Middle Tennessee. They were a three seed along with Oregon. Oregon beat Nebraska. And Colorado beat Kansas State. And Baylor beat Virginia Tech. So in the 5-4 games, right, in the round of 32, that's what happened. So we got 8 more games today, right? I believe, and that will close out the, 8 more games today on the other side of the bracket. And Iowa with Caitlin Clark, they're playing tonight. They're playing West Virginia. UCLA playing tonight. You know, when I was a little boy, I was a UCLA fan, so I always keep an eye on UCLA. USC is our number one seed. They got a great player, too. A young lady named Juju Watkins. Oh, she's nice. She's a freshman. She's nice. So we'll see what transpired. Those are the 2-1 seeds that are playing today, Iowa and USC. Now, on the men's side, I mentioned Joanne Roberts, the young man from St. Thomas who plays for the Houston Cougars, right? They got a player named Jamal Shedd. When the game come down to the end, my son, his maturity came in handy for the Houston Cougars, and they overcame Texas A&M Texas A&M was a 9 seed. But, you know, people are saying, why is Houston struggling so much? One of the things that people forget, right, is the University of Houston and the Texas A&M, before they went their separate ways, because Texas A&M is now a Southeastern Conference team, right? And Houston, they play in a different, I think some athletic conference, I can pull it up. But long ago, they used to all be in the Southwestern Conference, right? And that Southwestern Conference get mashed up. You check? But the rivalry is deep because it's an in-state rivalry, right? Of course, Houston. University of Houston is in Houston. And Texas A&M, they're in College Station. And they ain't far from Houston. So it gets to a point in competition where you're not looking at the seedings anymore because the rivalry is so deep that I want a piece of them there. Me care how good my team is. Me care how bad my team is. Or they don't care how good their team is or how bad their team is. The rivalry is deep-rooted. And they're going to be competitive. And that's what happened. That game went to overtime as well. You know what I'm saying? So that's March Madness. You got to love it, you know? So, and sometimes you need these type of scares early on to find out if you're willing to, you know, if your players could overcome some adversity. And Houston did that last night. They're a one seed. So now they move on to the Sweet 16. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the table talk. Ronnie Russell, hopefully Rakiko, join in as well because Doug Cole is excused. It's a beautiful Monday. Easter week 2024 is in effect. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
You need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With 2 locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist, I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And you know, we're back here. Bill, before I forget, right? You know, March is arguably the greatest month of the year, right? For obvious reasons. You know what I'm saying? Jamal, you on March too? Late, it come yet? Or, eh? Okay, man. Okay, happened already, eh, man? I didn't even know that, man. Happy birthday, my brother. My engineer. You know what I mean? He's a Pisces just like the kid. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, March is arguably the greatest month of the year, right? So, I don't really like to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. All right, I want to send out happy birthday blessings to the Bank of St. Croix president. Today's her birthday, right? So the whole world know, and you'll make a note of it, on March 25th, right? Christiana Williams Forup, bank president for Bank of St. Croix, a United Fidelity division. Today is her birthday. You know, she's making 25 today. You know, even though she was born, you know what I'm saying? She's 25. So happy birthday, Madam President. I hope you live to see many more. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. Great, great folks in March. Right? Jamal Hewlett. Start with him. You know what I'm saying? Yours truly. Even Gravy Henderson, Emil Henderson, the judge. Right? Christina Perez coming up soon. Monica Christina yesterday. Siobhan Moorhead. Yo, the list goes on and on. Just a great, great month. Steph Curry. Right? Steph Curry's, I think he's the 14th. You know what I'm saying? No, just having fun. I think Shaquille is in March too as well. You know what I mean? So we good. Sarah Boyd. Okay, now Sarah. Ain't hear from you in a long way over there. So we good. We got Ronnie Russell on the line, and we're hooking up Rocky as well, right? Hey, Mr. President, 29th Legislature, Ronnie Russell, originally from out of the West, now down in the Valley, the Kenai Ridge. Even though you're down in the Valley, still on a ridge. How you doing, Ronnie? Glad to have you on.
I'm doing very well, Neville. We're celebrating the Easter vacation and people camping and enjoying St. Croix. It's a lovely sight.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I believe the ranking member is in the mix as well. Armando Rocky Leibert, numero uno en la papeleta out of the beautiful island of St. John. We call it Love City. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. President. Good morning, Mr. Senator President Russell. And good morning to your listening audience. And the handle who's away. Just like me.
Yeah, he let me know he's still on assignment, so to please record him, right? So I said, Madam Clerk, please record Donald Dusko Senator. Present, please. Present, please. As excuse. Hey, Ronnie, Michelle Smith again, man.
Yeah.
Michelle Smith. Dominating again, taking advantage of people cheering, Ronnie. What's going on?
Yeah, it's a beautiful sight and a beautiful, you know, a beautiful testament to the talent that we have here in the Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it because, you know, I follow it all the way.
No, Ronnie, she's sprinting now, doing 100-meter hurdles. What's going on?
Well, she has improved on her overall talent. And she was, you know, she started, I thought, when she was really young, to show some speed. But, you know, the distance really changed as she got older, but she kept getting back to her natural roots. She's fast. She's fast. So, you know, she's an all-around athlete, and this is the time when she should shine. She should shine to show all of her talent. She really gonna concentrate on that, but if she could win, let her go. Let her go.
Now, when she was dominant in at the Karifta Games, there was one year she dominated the under 17, and then the next year she was dominating the under 21 within the same year. Right?
Yeah, under 20, definitely.
Under 20 from one year to the next. So that's him. And I remember listening to the man calling the race, right? The second year, right, when she got into the under 20 and she won the title, and the announcer, Rocky, the announcer said, and she wins it without paying any dues. You know, in other words, in her first year of eligibility, Rocky labored in the under 20 because she had just dominated the under 17. She win the event too, man. We got something going on here, Rocky labored. Seriously.
And that's the beautiful thing about sports, man. That's the beautiful thing about sports, that you can show your talent in many different ways, and there are different times in your life that part of your talent move with you, or you move with it the particular way, so that you're not left out, but you utilize God's given strength and love, you know. That's what it is.
Ronnie, tell us about the Karifta Games, which is very, very important now for the region, and particularly the Caribbean athletes, the young Caribbean athletes, as the profile for that track meet, which is typically around March, April, like an Easter thing, and how it's an Easter event, right? Easter meet, and this continues to grow and grow, Ronnie.
Yeah, you know, a brief history. We were not included initially in the Karifta countries that were competing, because we were not part of the British colonies and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Cipriani Philip single-handedly got us into the Karifta family. The Karifta is a talent development meet where all the young people, the under 17 and the under 20s, in the Caribbean compete. So we started to compete from in the 70s when Cipriani got us in, and we won a lot of medals. And we've been, you know, really good in the Karifta, to attend all of the Karifta games. And it's usually held in one of the Caribbean islands. And every Easter, you could look forward to that. This year is in Grenada.
Okay, that's the fella, James, right? That's where he's from, right?
Yes.
Kimani James, I think his name is.
Kimani James.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen this year? We could win several medals. Michelle Smith, Sophia Swindell, and some other athletes. And they are gearing up for not the 24 Olympics, the 28 Olympics.
Okay, yeah.
And so what is happening is, and all the countries in the Caribbean send their promising young athletes there. So if you win something in the Karifta, you have a future, because you beat a lot of the young talent in across the Caribbean, because everybody don't come. Only the people that don't come is the Spanish-speaking countries, Cuba, Puerto Rico.
Dominican Republic,
they don't come.
Yeah.
And that's part of the history of Karifta. It developed leaving out the Spanish-speaking countries because they were so large and the population is so big that they felt that, you know, it'd be an advantage to bring them in, because our younger countries and younger people can't compete. But they included Martinique and Guadeloupe. So Martinique and Guadeloupe is part of the Karifta.
Okay. And those are French. Yes. Those are French-speaking islands.
They. So we have a good group of athletes, young athletes, all who have developed. Usain Bolt come through the Karifta. You, Marie, the one from France.
Marie-Josée Perec, right?
Yes.
She's originally from Martinique, right?
Yes. No, and she won a gold medal in the Olympics.
Yeah, no. And that's I'm glad you went there because I wanted to say this. Rocky, back in 96, the Olympics was in Atlanta that year, right? And unfortunately, they had an incident. They had a bombing incident there, right? Or they found a bomb or something. Remember, they had that incident there, right? Right?
Yeah, found a bomb.
They found a bomb, right? And so going into that Olympics, Rocky and the audience and Ronnie, everything was about Michael Johnson, right?
Yep.
Because he was looking to be the first person to win the 200 and the 400 at the Olympics. Because normally it'll be the one and the two. Right, but in this case, he was going for the 2 and 4, and he not only accomplished that feat. The same lady that Ronnie just mentioned, Marie-Josée Perec, she did the same thing. So we had a women's and men's double in the 200 and 400, and I believe that Michelle Smith could be a great 200 runner because she got that kind of size and that speed. And it would be nice, you know, because remember now, Usain Bolt was not a 100-meter runner, you know, Rocky.
No, he was.
He was 200 and 400, but as you get older and mature and you get more strength, I know, Rocky, you were there when we were dealing with that Udorican track issue for a long, long time, right?
Yeah.
As Senate President, right? You had that the initial appropriation to build that track out there, right? And of course, you know, nobody likes to give the Senate credit for nothing, but you know, with this show, with this person who's in the show, that's gonna happen. The credit the legislature will get the credit to dissolve. Because Rocky, it looks like people will forget, even though the power rests in the executive branch, the legislature is the appropriating body of the government under the American Republican form of government, Rocky Labor.
Yeah, but Neville, the problem is not the public forgetting. We do it to ourselves.
Yeah, we don't remind them enough. Yeah.
Yeah, we do it to ourselves, and we all diminish our role. You know, we try to be, I don't know what you call it, sort of thing, like the nice, you know. We don't stand up for ourselves. We diminish everything we do because people seem to have a little disdain about the Senate. And so we succumb to that kind of behavior. That's what happened.
Now, let me ask this. Rocky, bring up a good point because Wallace Williams just asked this question to ask Ronnie, right? How we won a bid to host Karifta, Ronnie?
Yes, we did.
Now, the track that we have here on St. Croix, we were off by about 1 centimeter or something, right?
Yeah, we were off. But, you know...
Did we adjust it? Did we do anything to make that modification?
No.
That's bad luck. No,
You know, we bid for Karifta, and the whole Karifta country, you know, the conglomerate of countries that do the Karifta, really wanted to come to the Virgin Islands. But we didn't have...
The hotel rooms?
So we had everything. But, you know, the administration took a left turn at Albuquerque. And that was that. They decided they didn't want to put the resources into hosting the Karifta. So we had to decline. That was embarrassing.
This is the current administration, Brian Roach?
No. This is the administration back then.
Oh, back in the day? Okay.
It was the young administration.
Oh, the young administration. How much would it cost?
Well, the thing about it, I don't think it was a cost in terms of committing the resources. You will have to commit your departments, tourism, housing, parks and recreation, public works. You have to commit these departments to come up to par. And I'm not sure they were ready to do that. But, you know, we had to go to the Karifta leadership and withdraw.
This was going to be at St. Thomas or St. Croix?
This was St. Thomas. We were hoping to be to St. Thomas because We had the hotel rooms there.
Yeah.
And we had the infrastructure. It's just, you know, a commitment to put the human resources and the departments together.
Raki, you know, this is really? This is painful for me to process on a beautiful morning mind like this, you know, Raki. You know what I mean? The day were going so lovely, and I didn't even know that this had take place, man. Wow.
Listen, you know,
Raki, I'll give you credit. You really didn't want the uproar in the Virgin Islands, so you leave it alone.
Because it was sort of embarrassing for
man
to go back and say, okay, we gonna host it, and then we gotta go back and our award, and we did.
Oh man, Raki, you say the nonsense, man.
I know, and you see, and then we wonder why we don't do better, or at least not doing better, because we are not doing better.
Yeah, man.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. And you know it, but now, Neville. A younger generation of athletes are doing really well, and you really can't stop great talent. You could throw a chink in the armor sometime, but when you got great talent like that, you can't stop them.
But also, Raki, you're the ranking member in this round table that we don't have. If we could handle Paradise Jam, we could have handled that, man, Raki, man. Oh, gosh, man.
And you know that...
Because Paradise Jam ain't just about the athletes, or no. The universities are bringing an entourage with them, and that's eight at a time, you know.
And it takes a large amount of time planning to set up it. It's not a simple task.
No.
It's not a simple task.
No. But we could have handled it.
Yes, we can handle it, but that tells me, and I always say, we are our own problem, man. We are the ones who run in this space, and we have no excuse. We are the ones that are not doing what's supposed to be done, and just nonchalant behavior, man. This mediocrity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And politics. Politics exists everywhere. Don't get me wrong, right?
Yeah.
But the opportunity for economic activity, for exposure, because you can't put a dollar figure on exposing your jurisdiction to the outer world. That would have been nice. And we are the melting pot of the Caribbean. If there's ever a place in the Caribbean, right, that would reflect all of the different islands. Coming there, because I'm not just passing through. I'm talking about folks who have lived here, right? We have enclaves from all the islands in the Eastern Caribbean, here in the Virgin Islands, and that, wow. We gotta look at that again at some point, because we deserve to host.
Yeah, and not only that, Neville and Raki and listening audience, you know, we have risen to a point where we have talent that could compete
at
any level.
Yes, sir. That'd be nice for one of ours to win a gold medal and the home soil. Yeah. We're going to take a break, come back. A lot of things to talk about. The table talk is in tactical effect this morning. We'll be back right after this.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Get the latest news stories that matter from veteran news journalist Tom Ader. Just download the WTJX app or online, WTJX.org. WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. I wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Morning Edition takes you across this country and around the world with stories that keep you informed and the context to understand what matters. The news comes at you quickly, but we slow it down to examine each story from different angles and give perspective on what might happen next. A brand new day comes with new possibilities and a new edition of Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Virgin Islands, Beckford, Jamaica, Shelburne, Trinidad, Tobago, Korea, Haiti. Set on their way. 1 minute beyond the 20 girls, 400 meter hurdles. Tolia Beckford of Jamaica pulls off quickly. She knows the danger behind her in Michelle Smith of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and the tall figure of Smith ranges up on the Jamaicans. Smith is going really fast here through the first 200 meters. And she's probably even surprised Tonya Beckford on her outside. She's gone flying by the rest of the field, Michelle Smith. Tonya Beckford struggling to hang with her, the world number two this year. They head into the straightaway, and it's Michelle Smith. The record is 56.22. The U.S. Virgin Islands athletes has the field covered. One barrier for her to clear. Natasha Fox is running a big race for Trinidad and Tobago. So too Beckford for Jamaica. But it's all about Michelle Smith, the under 17 champion from last year. With the under 20 title 1 year later. She demolishes a world-class junior field and sets her class as the best in the Caribbean region. That is a fabulous performance.
You're listening there to last year's Karifta performance for Michelle Smith when she won the 400-meter hurdles. Rocky Arani, I had to play it. I couldn't resist myself. Don't hold it against me, please.
Yeah. And, but it's worth playing, Neville, because we seem to forget some of the achievements that people in the Virgin Islands have done over the years. And I'm glad that you're not letting people forget
this. No, sir. So we're looking forward to her having a repeat performance. This is her second year in the under 20 bracket. And then next year, she's going to Georgia? What's she going to college?
Georgia.
She's going to Georgia, so she's going to be a Georgia Bulldog next year. And we got some potential here, man. And Rocky and Rocco, hear the frustration in your voice, but yo, that's why we're there every Monday to let them know that if they need some guidance and some understanding, we good. Rocky, you had known Neville Hodge from back in the day?
Neville Hodge, I don't know if I know him.
He was a 100-meter sprinter out at St. Thomas. I think he went to Morgan State.
Yeah. I don't know if I know him. I don't know. I know of him, but I don't think I know him.
Rocky, you have a race against Neville Hodge?
Yes, and a lot of time.
what year are you talking about?
This is 70s, right, Ronnie? They're about?
Yeah.
When, no, man, I was mostly in St. John at the time teaching. I didn't move to St. Thomas to do some work till the 80s.
Okay.
Yeah. In them days, I couldn't get out of St. John at the time.
You thought that Sproul?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I thought that Sproul and I thought that...
You do reckon?
Which is a big guy, Benjamin Calvary.
Okay. Oh, so you teach at that great little school out there in Coral Bay?
Yeah, Yeah.
Now, you thought Clifford Graham, where at? And you do reckon?
I can, okay. I went to school in Calgary, and I came back, and I taught there, and also in Gooseberry. So it's a kind of a, you know, reciprocal thing.
You're 100% homie when it comes to educating the children, there, man.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling a guy from there, I go, say, listen, even though I'm an indigenous St. Johnian, I feel indigenous on every island.
Oh, no. Wherever I go. And you're not like, but it's a big name in St. Kitts Nevis. Big.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know much of them from down there. I know a couple of them who came then, but, you know, I don't know. My father ain't had that good history, man. He honestly, what's going on?
Well, Ronnie Neville Hodge was a good sprinter, a good 100-meter sprinter. He went to Morgan State.
Yeah, he was a great sprinter.
Yeah.
And the truth is that these islands have developed great sprinters. Carl Honjaj, before Neville, I run against them, and I was more in my heyday when Neville was coming up, right? So that the Virgin Islands had great sprinters. I run against Neville in several islands, you know? And Neville was the promising sprinter out of Charlotte Amalie. And Carl Honjaj was there. I was there. We competed against each other. So when Neville graduated from high school, he went to Morgan State, and he became the best 400 meter runner in the nation.
Oh, he transitioned from short sprints to long sprint.
Yep.
Okay.
He transitioned. He was always a good all around sprinter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he went to Morgan State, he did. They used him in the 4x4, and they had one of the best 4x4 teams in the country.
Morgan State and Baltimore.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that Neville, you know, really did really well sprinting, and the 60-yard dash, and the 400. So he was an all around sprinter. The problem was that in the 80s, when he was in his heyday, in 1980, the Virgin Islands and the U.S. didn't compete in the Olympics.
Yeah, we had the boycott, the Carter boycott because of Russia invading Afghanistan, right? That's what it was?
Yes, exactly. So
you see how Rocky, you see when people say, well, I like to talk about another global thing. And analyze this and table talk. But you see a classic example there, right? Something that happened in Kabul, right over there in the hills over there in Afghanistan impacted our athletes here in the Virgin Islands, man.
Right. Yeah. And so we didn't get a chance to compete.
I was saying there's something else you're missing for our local athletes, and I witnessed that with our own family, that my father never loved sports. So my brother was a track star, but he couldn't get a chance to run. He couldn't go to play to run no plays because my father went into that.
No.
Oh.
After I allowed Alice, now I come back home.
Yeah, you know, no, after years now, when you're like in the 20s and so, you go and you go to the National, he went to the National Guard and so, carrying up the guard and so, but
but his prime window, we don't know how good it would have been had we tapped into that talent at an earlier age.
And sometimes it's important that parents have that kind of understanding, allowing the children because they're like sponges. They can soak up anything and let them go. We can't just, you know, use your own personal, you know, experience, because it's a new world. It's a new world. And
exactly.
The opportunities are endless through exposure. Exactly. By the way, you mentioned that short sprint to the long sprint. Ronnie, when I was in high school, when I was in junior high school, Cipriani Phillips that you mentioned, he was a track coach for Central High School.
Yes.
And it had two runners from Central High School that year there. One was T-Boy, right?
Yes.
And our next one was Mongoose, right? Yep. So Mongoose could have scammed me, son.
That
we nickname Rocky Mongoose. you should have seen on the track, right? Yeah. Rocky, this man sprint the 100 and then he sprint the 400. I was like, wait, no? This dude ain't human. Yeah. But, you know, that, he's like a Michelle Smith, right? Where she where she does the 400-meter hurdles and the 800 open.
Yeah, well, we went that year with Mongoose and Manti, myself, and I think Keith was on that team. We went to Montserrat, Antigua, and the BVN cleanup. And that's how we got. I got to say, you know. You know, wow. I win the one and the two.
Yeah.
Mongoose win the four.
Yeah.
And we win the 4x1 and 4x4.
Wow.
When you know, but that is the camaraderie of the islands.
I think Mongoose family originally was either from St. Lucia or Dominica, right? So,
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
the truth is that, you know, we got to build on that. The Carifta is really a melting pot for not only athletes, for these countries to come together in friendly competition. And you know all the athletes, you know them. I got friends in the Bahamas and Jamaica and all these islands that I know from the 80s because I was participating in Dalang, you know. And we have a sort of camaraderie and, you know, and that is the kind of camaraderie we need in politics, Neville, you know, because we got to understand that we don't stand alone. We stand with other people in the Caribbean, and that is why, you know, a lot of things that happen in the Caribbean, we should be aware of them and keep abreast of them, not only the United States, but keep abreast of our real neighbors who we share common interests with, food, culture, everything, and people here. And that's where I think we got to cultivate expanding to the other islands, you know. The U.S. is good because they go provide the education and they got the money and the stuff, but culturally, we don't connect with the U.S. like that. But in the other islands, we definitely connect. And that's why the Carifta is so important.
Yeah, Carifta and CARICOM, right?
Yeah.
And I'll let Rocky, the year that Usain Bolt won the 200 meters at Carifta, the Virgin Islands had a sprinter by the name of Adrian Durant.
Yep.
And Adrian Durant finished, he got the bronze medal in that same race. So Rocky, yeah, we could compete with the best of them on Rocky.
I know we could. I know that. I know we.
Okay. Neville and Rocky, Adrian Durant is the head coach for the team at Cornell University.
You hear it there again, Rocky?
Wow.
Cornell is a big Ivy League school. Now, of course, you know, the Ivy League schools are known for academics and all that. But now they're starting to be competitive in sports again, Rani. Yes. Yale was in the NCAA tournament this year. Yeah, man.
Yes.
Wow. So Cornell is saying, no, Rani?
Yeah. And that's the same Adrian you mentioned just now.
Because Wallace Williams sent me the information right here, man. Wow. Yeah. So Adrian went to University of South Carolina, the same Aliyah Boston University of South Carolina, right?
Yes.
And now is a head coach at Cornell, Ivy League Cornell in Ithaca, New York, Rani?
Yeah. Right. And he recruits throughout the Caribbean. And he is one of the coaches that we use to travel with our Virgin Islands team. You see?
Yeah.
And Neville was a coach for a long time, traveling with the Virgin Islands team.
Neville Hodge.
Yes. So the whole idea is that you cultivate the talent and you get back tenfold, because the Ivy League coach, he could recruit. If we got talent here, Adrian could say, okay, we're going to give you a scholarship.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
That's how it'll work.
Yeah, man. And then the next thing you know, the track star becomes a biologist who creates something that Rocky that creates something is a medical phenomenon and changing and saving lives and extending lives, man.
Yep.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, what we want are great student athletes, you know what I mean, Rocky?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
And right now, you know, Flora Hyacinth is a doctor, you know, and I may mention a couple, but there's a lot of athletes that have achieved great things in the society, becoming doctors, engineers, a lot of things happening. And they get this opportunity to track and field scholarships. And when they go to school, they choose whatever they want to do. And then when they choose it, they excel in that too.
I'm watching it right now, Adrian Duran. I'm watching the profile right now. Born St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands, October 16, 1984. Alma mater, University of South Carolina, a sprinter. And he was an assistant head coach at FAMU, another very, very important university in Virgin Islands history, right?
Yeah.
Florida A&M from 2010 to 2012. And since 2012, he's been the head coach at Cornell.
Yeah,
and Cornell won the 2016 Outdoor Ivy League championship, right? Heptanagel championship. And then, wow, this is... Man, Rocky, what you said, the opportunities are endless. That's your favorite term, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Listen, not only that, you know, we are not doing some things that are not too far off, you know, because I remember coaching in high school. One of the things was prerequisite was you got to keep your grades up. You got to have good grades, a great score in order to participate. And guess what? And the reason for that is that you get into athletics, but athletics is also a vehicle to take you into another world, a world of education. So you just, because we know that athletes only last a time, but if you get a good education, it's like, you know, teach a man to, you give a man a fish, but teach him to fish and he live for a lifetime.
That's right.
That's how it is.
Yeah, man. Great discussion so far. And by the way, Ronnie, well, as William said, Ronnie is being modest.
And because you know, Neville.
I know. No. Think about that. When we come back from the break, you go fill up another, and we'll touch on other topics. We'll take a break. Yeah. Good discussion promoting VI athletes and in particular track and field and other sports. Well, by the way, give a shout out to Chico Morales, president of the Virgin Islands Olympic Committee. We'll take a break and be back right after this.
Boy.
That's your classmate, Rocky.
Yeah, that's it.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.